Okay, more than welcome to find your seats. I'll call Othniel up. And I like this guy. He's one of my friends. And Taryn is at the back with the little ones. Taryn, love you. So, dude, do you want to be up here or down there? Yeah. Nice. So, come. Dude, I have to announce you when you're here so they know who you are. Kev, get your stuff there. This is your water. Do you want me to open it for you? Go for it. So this is Othniel, and Taryn is at the back. We've had a relationship for about 3 years. About going to 3 years. I love this guy. Love what God's doing in him. Love what's happening in his church and with what God is doing with him. It's been an interesting journey for us. And for those that are visiting us, Josh Jen is made up of quite a few congregations. But then we have, you've heard about it, 412. 412 is a movement of churches that aren't necessarily just Josh Jen. I think there's over 400 or something around the world. I'm very involved with the churches in Brazil, and I'm very involved with this guy's life, and I love him very much. And so we've been walking that journey together, seeing what God's done. And, dude, I want to just say, seen so many amazing changes through the years, and what God's, how he's using you, how he's shaping you, you and your wifey and your kids. And so I love you, and I'll give you freedom just to share what God has put in your heart. Please receive him. He's one of us. He's our family. And thank you to his congregation to join us tonight too. Very gifted to have you here. And can I pray for you? And you can go for it. Father, thank you for this man, Lord. I know his heart is for you and for your kingdom to build church well. Lord, I know that you've put just a passion on his heart. And Lord, whatever he shares tonight, Lord, that you will just lead him and guide him. That they, that you just give him freedom and fun, Lord, as he just shares your word. And Lord, help us that are listening just to take in what he's saying and apply it to our lives so we could grow closer to you too. So we thank you for it, Neil. Love him very much, and just bless him, Lord, as we're going to be blessed through him. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Wow. Thank you, Brett, for this great opportunity, all the eldership. I'm really grateful to be able to be here this evening, even with our congregation. And thank you for welcoming us and being so hospitable. I pray that you open your hearts this evening. I believe God has really laid a word on my heart. It's been, I preached this word before, but I just sensed, during this week I was praying, trusting God for a word for this congregation. And I know this word might be a bit top heavy, but I pray that you would receive it and your hearts will be receptive to receive the word, not as of man, but as of God. Now, if you have your Bibles, you can turn to the book of 2 Kings, chapter 6, verse 1 to 7. I'll be reading. This is a time that the prophets that was with Elisha, the place that they were gathering in was too small. And I want to just, before I get into the word, I want to thank Brett, even with the team and the 412. You know what? We've been on an amazing, challenging journey. And when we were first introduced to the 412 partnership of churches, I was really in a very, very dangerous state in terms of church. You know, being a young minister, planting a church out in Stellenbosch, I was really in a very challenging space. You know, it was very much, and there was not much life happening within the congregation. And I seek God, and we really trusted the Lord that he would connect us and partner or bring in people that we can connect with that can take us into the more of God. And there was a real deep sense of a longing after the authentic and after the transparent. Amen. There's a lot of things within church today that is very superficial. And we really seeked a deep, intimate walk with God. And we saw that what we were building within that context, we saw that there was something more when we look over Scripture and when we see into the context of Scripture. It did not look like that. And we really seek God. And I sat with many apostles and bishops and all these type of people. And I could just sense that there was not a connecting of hearts. And, you know, the moment I met with Andrew and with Will, there was that sense of connection. And there was that sense of these men are really out to build well. They're out to build healthy. And I believe God has really brought us over this 3 years. He has brought us into beautiful places of health. There's so a lot of areas that we need to be recalibrated and brought into alignment. I know that we've caught hold of something. We've caught hold of the blueprint that I believe God is looking for his church. And this evening, there's something that has been really on my heart in regards to the church. There's a kind of something that I find within the church, if I can say that, the modern church. I'm not referring to us, but I'm speaking very generally this evening. That there's a real desensitization of the hearts towards being going out and really evangelizing. And you know, as the song says, set me on fire, Lord. You know, there's that longing and that desire to be out there and to proclaim the good news of Christ. And my mandate and my assignment this evening is very much on the angle of just coming to spur and encourage the congregation this evening that, listen, we are not just made. Yes, it's beautiful to have koinonia. It's beautiful to have fellowship. It's good to have good doctrine. It's good to have all those things. But we are not just made for the four wards of the church. But we've been gathered here so that we can be set ablaze because there's nations and people waiting the good news of Christ. Amen? So I'm that type of priest that you can holler back. Are you with me? You can say amen if you're enjoying it or you're catching it. You can do that. But I want to read to you the scripture found in 2 Kings chapter 6. One day the group of prophets came to Elijah and told him, as you can see, the place where we meet with you is too small. Let's go down to the Jordan River where there is plenty of logs. There we can build a new place for us to meet. All right, he told them, go ahead. Please come with us, someone suggested. I will come, he said. So he went with them. When they arrived at the Jordan, they began cutting down trees. But as one of them was cutting a tree, his axe head fell into the river. Oh, sir, he cried out. It was a borrowed axe. I want to emphasize that it was a borrowed axe. Where did it fall? The man of God asked. When he showed him the place, Elijah took a stick and threw it into the water at that spot. Then the axe had floated to the surface. And he said, grab it, and Elijah said. And the man reached out and he grabbed it. We find within this text that we find that the place, as we've read, where the prophets was gathering became too small. And they decided that they're going to go down to the Jordan River to build for themselves a new facility. And while building and while they were busy, and I want to emphasize that the work that they were busy was a great work. The work that they were active within was a great work. So they were busy with a great work. But while they were cutting down logs or trees, one of the prophets, he lost and his axe head came loose and fell into the waters. And I want to title my message this evening, Remain Cutting Edge. Remain cutting edge. I believe that within this term, remain cutting edge, it's not just a term that we find it within science, we find it within technology. It says that we need to have cutting edge research. And there's many things that we find within this word is that God is calling us because we find we live in a generation that we find, you know, some people say this is the most evil generation. I believe, yes, maybe in magnitude, maybe in quantity, there's a lot of evil things happening. But you know what? This is not the most evil generation. When we look throughout church history, when we look throughout the history of the church, we find that many evil things happen, even in the context of the church. We find within the time of Nero. You know, Nero used to have some parties within his courtyard. Used to have, this was one of the kings or the emperors in that time. He used to have these parties that he had, banquets at his palace. And he would take the church or the believer that was persecuted and he will dip them into tar. He will dip them into tar and he will use them as lighting while they were having a nice banquet. So if we talk about the measure and the magnitude of evil, we find that throughout generations, we find that there's many evils happening within the world. We find with Hitler, we find many things happening. The Bible says even this generation in the book of Hebrews, it says to us, we have not suffered, we have not been persecuted until the point of shedding blood. And we find that this generation, as we look at the news, I mean, we live out in Stellenbosch, and I see all the things that is happening, the strike that is happening within the Somerset West area. We find things with human trafficking within this generation, that there's a generation crying out for the authentic power of God. There's a generation crying out for men and women that is not just talking, but they are operating in the power of the Holy Spirit. I believe God is calling His church in this season to come back to the place where we are cutting edge once again. We are able to penetrate areas. We sang this evening that, listen, strongholds are still able to be loosed. You know, just on Friday, we were out in Stellenbosch and we were preaching the gospel on the streets, a gang-stricken area. And I just saw the power of God, that there's a hunger among people to be saved. There's a hunger among people to come to the saving knowledge of Christ. And I want to come this evening to say to us as a congregation that we are not saved for ourselves, that we've been created, we've been called, we've been ordained, we've been set on fire for more than just yourself, that there is a greater purpose that God has for us. There's a greater purpose that God has for us. And hence the reason we need to come and we need to remain in the place where we remain cutting edge within this world. We need to remain in the place where there's intimacy, where there's a hunger and a thirst. You know, there's a story, and I want to tell it, that there was a veteran lumberjack. Now, a lumberjack, you know, they cut down trees. And one of one day they were busy in the forest, and a young man came up to this veteran and said, you know, I want to challenge you. We're going to go out in the morning, and we're going to go out into the forest, and we're going to see who can cut down the most trees. And they went out into the bush, you know, both with their axes. And the young man was already pumped up, because he knows, you know, he has some sort of advantage over this older man. And as they went out, they started chopping down. And they were just a distance from each other. And now and then, the young man would look over to the old man. And he would find that the old man is busy. But now and then, he would find that this old man is sitting down. And he would say, okay, no, he's sitting down. I'm going to take this opportunity now to gain some time. And I'm going to try to cut down even more while he's sitting down. You know, in the end of the day, they came in, they collected all the logs together, and they brought all the logs in, and they started counting. And while they were counting, it came about that the older man, the veteran, he chopped down more trees than this young man. And he was baffled, he was confused. You know, I saw you sitting down. Many a times when you were sitting down, I was up and I was doing my thing, and how can it be that you are able to chop down more trees? And he came over and he asked the old man, you know, what's the secret? What's happening? And he said to this young man, while you thought I was busy resting, I was sharpening my axe. Even the book of Ecclesiastes, if we can go there, the book of Ecclesiastes tells us, Ecclesiastes 10, verse 10, if we can have it up. Since a dull axe requires great strength, sharpen the blade. Since a dull axe requires more strength, sharpen the axe. And I believe as we begin to walk with God, as we come to the place within this congregation, and as we continue to journey with God, there is times within our journey, we are busy with a great work. Isn't that so? God has called us, and there's great work to be done for the kingdom. There's great exploits to be done for the kingdom, but we cannot just run and continue to run. And we don't take time, and we don't take time out to come to the place where we sharpen ourselves within the spirit, where we come to a place where we know that I'm at a place where I need to be sharpened in the spirit. Yes, we gather together. Yes, we come here in a corporate setting, and we come and worship God, and we stand together in prayer, but there's some places within our journey that we continue to get into that place. And I want to use the story this evening, and I want to use it as a backdrop. I want to use it as a backdrop. When we look at the axe, and when we look at this axe, it represents the power of God. It's a tool that this man used to be able to build something great for God. And I believe that represents the Holy Spirit, that without the Holy Spirit, we are not able to build what God has called us, because it's the power of God that brings about results. It is the power of the Holy Spirit that brings about effectiveness. We cannot continue to build if we do not build with the power and the fuel of the Holy Spirit. And I find within the scriptures, and I want to use it as a backdrop, and I want to bring stories about, and I want to bring some observations that I find within the text. The Bible says that the prophet, while busy, the axe head fell into the ground or into the waters. And I find something very powerful, that you see, there must be a concern That's my first thing that we need to get to, because sometimes we are so callous within our hearts that we become so indifferent that we are able to do the work. We are able to advance the kingdom in a sense. We think that we can do it in our own strength. But you see, the moment the axe head fell into the waters, there was a concern within the prophet's heart. He cried out and said, "My axe head fell." Meaning, he understood that, listen, I cannot continue this work. I will not be able to continue with this great work that I'm busy with if I do not retrieve the axe. And he goes about to the prophet and he said, "I lost my cutting edge." And if you are here this evening and you really search your heart and you know, as I say, the church has become so skilled at times how we are able to put programs together. We are so skilled with facilities. We are so skilled at our eloquence of speech. We are so skilled at many of things within the body of Christ that people come and they come for different reasons within the body of Christ. But God is calling an authentic body of believers to come back to the place, as we find within the New Testament, as we find within the early church. They built only by the Holy Spirit and on Christ. They built on the apostolic doctrine. They gathered together. Yes, that is important. As we continue to gather, people see something within these body of believers and they desire to be part of that. And I believe God is calling us that even as we are here tonight, if you do not come to the place where you can say, "I admit, you know what? I'm not where I'm supposed to be, or I don't have it as I had it at first." So I'm calling you back this evening. I'm calling and I'm charging you in the Lord this evening that, you know what, God is calling us to a place where we need to say, "You know what, I know how I served God at first." I'm bringing you actually a message to evoke your heart once again to the days of old, in a sense where you know how you walked with God, where there was a fire within you, where there was a fervence within you, where there was a zeal within you for the things of God and for the lost souls, and to pray hours on end to trust God that He will use you wherever you are located, wherever you are positioned. And I believe God is calling us, but there must be within us a concern, because we cannot continue. The prophet, he was not able to continue the work without the cutting edge. He was not able to continue the great work, and therefore he cried out, and he admitted, but he also confessed. Because he came to the prophet Elijah, he said, "You know what? I lost my cutting edge. I lost." And if we are really very honest with ourselves, we can say, and we can search our hearts, as I said earlier, and can say, "You know what, Lord, I'm still in the journey. I'm still busy with the work. I'm still engaging with the work. But I'm not, there's something within me that I feel that you need to set ablaze once again. I sense that there's something within me that you need to align once again, that I'll get to that place where I see you." And as I said, the enemy at times desensitizes us to the things of the Spirit. That we are sometimes scattered within our thoughts, scattered with our priorities, scattered with our affections. That there's other things that occupy, and sometimes we become dull. We become ineffective in the kingdom. And God says to us this evening that we need to come back to the place where we can admit to say, "You know what? I'm in a place where I feel that, you know, I'm serving, but I'm just sensing there's no results. I'm not sensing I'm penetrating and I'm going into areas and I'm seeing results." As it is, to confess, and it's difficult, isn't that so? It's difficult to confess. You know, we always want to, people must look at us and, "I know what, oh, that's a powerful man. That's, you know, they're on top of it. They always got it together. They're always moving." But it's difficult when you come to a place where you need to admit. I know as a leader, there's many a times, I mean, even my talks with Brett, in the beginning, I'm like, "You know what, I'm a man of God and all these things." But you know what, God needed to bring me to a place where I was able to be accountable and can confess and admit to say, "You know what, I'm not where I need to be, but I'm willing to surrender once again. I'm willing to learn from you again. I'm willing to say, you know what, Lord, I don't want to continue with the work being ineffective, but externally I look the part, but internally there's no power. Internally, there's no move of the Holy Spirit. There's no flow of the Holy Spirit. When I gather with the saints, yes, I'm moving and I'm having the external things happening. But you know what? Within my workplace, am I still so fervent? Am I still moving in the power? Am I seeing the results within my personal capacity when there's nobody around me? Am I still so bold?" Because that is what marked the early church. When they were filled with the Holy Spirit, when they were activated in the Holy Spirit, there's a boldness that filled their hearts. We see Peter, you know, he was a coward before he was filled with the Holy Spirit. He denied Jesus 3 times, but when he was filled with the Holy Spirit, he stood up at the day of Pentecost and he started to proclaim the gospel with boldness. And the Bible says many came to the saving knowledge of Christ. Many repented. Many got saved on that day because there's something about the Holy Spirit within us that releases boldness. And I believe, you know, at first, you remember those days when you just got saved. You know, you wanted to tell everyone. You wanted to let everyone know. You wanted to go onto the mountain and say, you want to let the world know that Jesus lives. But sometimes as time goes by, we find ourselves that, as I said, we fall back into old patterns, and there needs to be a place where we can admit and we can understand, you know what, Lord, I desire to be used in power. But there's another thing that I find, there was a concern and there was a confession, but I also find within the scriptures that there was a comprehension that this prophet understood something that, you know what, while he was busy, he said to the prophet Elijah, he said, The axe that I have, the axe head, is not my own. It was a borrowed axe. And I love that. I love that. That stood out for me in the sense that, you know what? God is calling us. The Bible says to us that you will receive power. Listen to me. Acts 1 verse 8 says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, for you will be my witnesses. Meaning the power that you received is not your own power to parade, but it is the power that is borrowed by God. He gave you this power and he said, what are we doing with this? You know, the Oxford Dictionary says the definition of power is the ability to produce results. Now, I want to put that definition within that text because it sounds very powerful. He says, you will receive power, the ability to produce results when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Meaning when you are filled and baptized and you are anointed by God, wherever you go, you need to see signs and wonders following. You need to see that there is results following as you continue to journey. Because there is a power that is at work. It is not your power, but it's the borrowed power from on high. And we find, sadly, within this generation, we find men that it does exploits, but they draw the attentions to themselves. We find it within this generation that is so perverse. They try to bring the attentions and wants to walk with borrowed power and make as if it is their own. And they want to even sell the power. But we're not going to go around that tonight. But God has given us power. The ability to produce results. And that has given, you know, Christ, even when we see the example, he did not send out his disciples. He did not send out before they received the promise. He kept them in the upper room until they received the promise. Even Christ, before he went out to be tempted in the desert, before he started his ministry, he needed to be filled and receive the Holy Spirit. So there's something that we need to understand and say, Lord, you know what? If you are baptized this evening, Lord, fill me up again. Fill me up again that I might be set on fire. Because there's a great work that you've called me to. And I believe God has called all of us within our different callings and functions within the body of Christ. God has called us to be effective and to walk in power. There's a great need within the body of Christ at this time. And can I say this? Never take the Holy Spirit's power for granted in your life. Even in the simplest things. You know, sometimes, you know, every morning I thank God. And when I wake up, I say, Lord, thank you for the gift of salvation. Brett said that we need to always thank God. We need to, as we even now move to Easter weekend, we need to be in that place. It's a reminder even during the year, but it's also a continuous reminder within our hearts for the gratitude that we have for the gift of salvation. You know, whenever I walk out, I say, you know what? Thank you, Lord. I do not deserve this. And I say, Lord, give me all the gifts you need me to give for this day, wherever you take me, may you anoint me for what you've called me to, because we do not take this gift for granted. You see, as I say, that's what the enemy does. He wants us to think that every day is just a normal day. But God has called us, if we are filled with the Holy Spirit, if we are tuned into the Holy Spirit, if we remain cutting edge, there will be a sensitivity about us as we engage in our workplace, as we begin to have meetings, as we move in different areas where we are active. There is something that is the antennas, the frequency is continually on because you are seeking God to speak to you through His Holy Spirit. Because you're a man and woman that wants to remain cutting edge. You are not just here to occupy space. You are not just here to exist. But you are actively and proactively setting your mind out. Today is the day. Lord, send me to people. Send me to someone. Let me release something. You know what? There's something about the power and the anointing of God. You know, I have seen many a times you speak. Some of you have spoken to your colleagues. You've spoken to your family and things. But you know, there's something about the Holy Spirit. That when something is filled with the Holy Spirit, that which took years to be broken, God is able to, in a moment, He's able to break that yoke. I'm telling you, you know what? I look at my own life, how God saved me. I come out of 12 years of smuggling drugs, doing drugs, and you know, living a wasted life. But one word from a man, and he confronted me with the gospel, and he came in the power of the Holy Spirit, and he confronted me with the good news of Jesus Christ, and he confronted me in the power of the gospel, and he took a moment and said, you know what, I could see how he was, you know, when I look back, I could see he was really, really fervent in his, and very confrontational in terms of the gospel, and said, you know what, God is able to save you, young man. And I can tell you, 12 years ago, in one moment, God delivered me from how many years of drug abuse. God is able. When we look at this, we need to come back to the place where we get back to say, you know what, Lord, fill me up. Fill me up. I desire to be full of your presence, full of your power. You promised that to us. But it also involves a coming back. As much as he has the comprehension, he has also a place that we need to understand. I love what the scripture says. He comes to the prophet and he says, you know what, this is a borrowed axe. It fell into the water. But I love what the prophet does. The prophet says, where did it fall? Where did it fall? Because the solution and the place where it needs to be retrieved is the place where you lost it. And he goes about and he shows the prophet the place where he lost it. And I feel so much within the spirit this evening that there's a place that we've lost it. It might be that you've engaged in a wrong relationship. You are full of God and full of the Holy Spirit, but there's a season of relationship brought you into a place of dullness. Maybe you were full of the Holy Spirit and even within a decision in a business deal or an engagement within your work context brought you into a place that you've lost. Or you derailed, in a sense, the thing. But he says to him, show me the place where it fell in. And I believe God is calling us back to our first love. Are you with me? He's calling us back to the place where we are able to retrieve our cutting edge, our affections. And I want to read a scripture to you that really stood out for me in terms of what I'm speaking in Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2 from verse 2. The writer says, he says, I know all the things that you do. I have seen your hard work and your patient endurance. I know that you do not tolerate evil people. Isn't that many a times how we sound? We know how you've endured. I know that you do not tolerate evil people. I know you have examined the claims of those who say they are apostles and are not. You have discovered they are liars. You have patiently suffered for me without quitting. And then it continues. But I have this complaint against you. You don't love me or each other as you did at first. Look how far you have fallen from your first love. Turn back to me and do the works you did at first. Look how far you have fallen. Now within the church, And I'm not going to elaborate too much, but I want to say to you, these guys within that church of Ephesians, they had it all together. The Bible says, you know, in order for you to discover that there's lies, in order for you to discover that those who claim apostles, you need to have sound doctrine. So meaning these guys had sound doctrine. They were on par because they could distinguish what was right and what was wrong. Hence the reason they brought out and say, you saw the guy that they were not apostles. So there was sound doctrine. There was endurance. And you've not quit it. You've stood the test. And he says, tick, that's good. But he says, you know what? You have lost your first love. He says, repent and turn back and to return to your first love. So there's something that I feel in the Lord that God's saying, it's for us to come back. In order for the prophet to receive or to receive his cutting edge, he needed to return to the place where he lost it. And I believe God is speaking to us. And he says, yeah, we've endured and you've been patient and you've been enduring and you've been in the race. You're still in the race. It's not that you're out of the race. But the question is, are you still cutting edge? It's not that you've backslidden in a sense where you're not part of the church and you know, but the question is within your race, you've been patiently enduring. You've gone through trials. You've been through situations and you've been through circumstances. But you see, that is not the main question that this exposes to us. You've kept the sound doctrine. You fought the good fight. But are you still cutting edge within the kingdom and within your walk with God? Are you still moving in that which God? I believe, you know what, sometimes we have these statements where we say, no, brother, that's for the new believers. Isn't that so? No, we've matured, man. Those people are crazy about the Lord. We've matured. They must be like that when they come to Christ. Isn't that so? We've advanced from that level. But is that the way God designed us? If that what I find within the scriptures, God is calling once again. You say, you know what? We need to come into that place where we are effective. And I believe as we continue to see God, you say, you know what? This is not enough. There is more. And that is what I found within the 412. I'm like, you know what? There's more. Each time I come into the gathering, I'm like, whoa, you know, I'm sitting on the apostolic teaching. I'm feeling, yo, I'm even saved, you know. You know, I know most of you feel like that. Isn't that so? You leave cut in the heart like, oh, heavy. And you want to shift because there's more. There's more that God is calling and He's continually calling us to the more. There's no excuse for us as to why we're not in that place. And I believe I'm charging in the Lord this evening to come into that place. And as I say, you might be in that place, but you know what? It's just an encouragement to the believers today that we are called to make disciples. We are called to take action. Come back. Look how far you have fallen. And I'm gonna finish off with verse 5 where it says, do the things you did at first. It's not just this mystical thing that we come to the altar and the first love comes. You know what I'm saying? It's not just that thing. But there's a doing. There's a verb there that there's an action that God is calling us to. In order to position ourselves, to say, Lord, bring us back. And then the prophet goes to the place where the axe had fell into. And he threw a piece of stick, wood, into that place. And the Bible says that the axe head came to the surface. What, isn't that a divine action? That is a miracle in itself. Because you can't bring an axe head from that place. So meaning there's something that I find there and I want to pull it. I don't know. I don't want to allegorize the scriptures, but I want to say there's something that I find there that I find that there's a confrontation with the divine. There's a confrontation, as I believe, with the cross. There's a confrontation once again when we see that because there's a miracle in itself. And I believe that symbolizes in a sense the cross. That as we want to become cutting edge once again, we need to catch a revelation of the cross once again within our lives. There needs to be a revelation of the price that Christ paid for us. You know what? Sometimes we are ineffective because we do not know the purpose and the power of the cross within our own life. My question is, how meaningful, how of a reality is the cross to you today? I'm not talking about when we just got saved. I'm talking when we're speaking now, when we look in view of the cross, is there still something that moves you? Because when you have the reality of the cross within your heart, when you believe the gospel for yourself, you are able to bring it to others with a fervency, with a gladness, with enthusiasm. Because there's something about the gospel that you have within your heart to say, you know what, this is the good news. I love the good news. Amen. We need to get back to the place where the Holy Spirit rekindles within our hearts a desire for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Where we are able to go out through the power of the Holy Spirit. You know what? Peter did not speak about anything else and just stood up and he spoke about the resurrection of Christ. And thousands came to Jesus Christ. It was not a program. It was not a three-step, four-step thing. It was just the pure, untainted gospel of Jesus Christ. And people shifted and got saved under the power of the gospel. I believe there's a confrontation within our hearts once again. It must be meaningful to you. Sometimes we become desensitized because we put other things first. But how meaningful are the gospel to you? How meaningful is the cross? Not only when it's Easter, but when you in view of the mercies of God upon my life. He say, if you've been refreshed, refresh others. If you've been comforted, comfort others. You know, I love my testimony and I always share my testimony wherever I go. Whenever I get an opportunity, whenever I get someone that opens their heart, I want to share that. I want to share the good news. I want to share that, you know, Christ, the Bible says that a truthful testimony is able to save a life. It's able to save a life. There's grace that God has bestowed upon you. There's oil upon your life. There's anointing upon your life. There is power within you. And it should not be hidden, but it should be revealed. It should be expressed. It should be made known. And God is calling us as a congregation and as believers and as a body of believers to that place. So there was, and the Bible says it came to the surface. As I conclude this evening, as it came to the surface, there was something that the prophet says to him. He says to him, now you see, there's something that the prophet, yes, the miracle was performed by Elisha, but he tells this younger prophet, he says to him, now you grab it. There's something that I find, that there's a commitment as we come and we desire to say, Lord, I want to remain cutting edge. There's something of a commitment and discipline. You know what? Brett sent me a book, The Discipline of a Godly Man. And I'm still in that book. I'm like, whoa, I did a whole preaching theme in the church. And we're like still for 3 months now, 2 months going into that. Like just sticking with discipline. That there's something within the church that we've become very ill-disciplined within our walk with God. And we've allowed things to just flow. And God says to us, you know what? There's a commitment, there's a discipline that will bring you into that place once again where you can hear my voice. There's a discipline in being in a position, Lord, I want to hear your voice. Set me on fire once again. It's not always easy because discipline is an action. Discipline takes something from you. It's a sacrifice that needs to happen within your life. That you compose yourself. And that's what the Bible says, even in Revelation, it says, now you do the things you did at first. And I know personally, you know, I spoke to one of the guys. Some guys went to the beach and they would spend the whole day there in his presence. That was at first. You know, some of you journal and some of you, you worship in your room. Some of you, you know, whatever you did at first, at times God is calling us back. He says, you know what? Do the things you did at first. And I believe, guys, God brings us to that place. There's a commitment that God is calling us to. There's that desire within you, I believe, will bubble up once again. And we can be effective. I don't know about you, but I want to be effective within the kingdom. I want to see people saved. And I love Brett. You know, he's always spurring me on when I look at him. His boldness in the Lord to be able to step out and call out as the Lord leads him, and continually being sensitive to the Holy Spirit, because we know God is always on the move. He's always actively busy trying to bring about his kingdom within the earth. And God has called us as agents, as people, to be ones that can express that beautiful kingdom within the earth. Amen. I've come to the end of my sermon. And I know God has spoken to your hearts. I'm going to give over to Brett to come. But I really want to, or the service convener. Amen. The convener. But I really sensed in the Spirit that God wants to really bring us into that place this evening. He wants to bring us into that place where we come before Him once again. You know, say, Lord, you know what? Activate me once again. There's things that I've misprioritized. I've got my priorities out of line. But I desire to be a man and a woman that is filled with your Holy Spirit, that is filled with the power to remain cutting edge. I believe when you move once again within that setting and you desire that, God will use you in a profound manner. Amen.